What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Local Business Podcast. My guest today is Rich Brooks. He hosts a podcast called Agents of Change, and he's joining me today to talk about how to make your business stand out. I think we're all looking for ways to market our business, but you have to figure out what makes your business different than the other business doing similar things to you right down the street. There's always one thing that makes you special. How to find that one thing that makes you special, and then how to talk about it on social media to get attention for it is what we're discussing with Rich on this episode of the Local Business Podcast. By the way, we started a new challenge. It's the TikTok challenge. Listen, I know you're probably thinking that TikTok is not a place for your business, but let me tell you, it's shifting. If you have ever noticed your wife or your kids or your husband sitting on the couch with the TV on, with their phone in hand, scrolling up and chuckling every once in a while, they're on TikTok, and the age demographic is definitely growing on there. If you're a local business, there's still time. I think now is the perfect time because the people are there who you want to get in front of, and the content is shifting. It's not just singing and dancing anymore. It's real business content. Inside of our TikTok challenge that's happening as the recording of this podcast, I am going to show you how to leverage TikTok in order to grow your customer base, okay? Get attention, get views, get eyeballs, turn those eyeballs into customers. I'm going to give you some examples of places doing great work on TikTok that does not involve singing or dancing, because I don't want to do that either. If you want in on this, go to thebrewserving.com/TikTok and sign up for the TikTok challenge. Now, it's a TikTok challenge. If you're listening to this in the future, it is still going on. Everything that we do inside of this challenge will be recorded and you'll have access to. So if you're listening to this podcast a year from now after we record it, still head over to thebrewserving.com/TikTok. Get the TikTok challenge started for your business and get going, because there's no better time to leverage TikTok than right now. We all know how the peaks and valleys go with these platforms. Instagram's had its peak. It's starting to decline. Not necessarily that people aren't using Instagram still, but you'll notice a lot of people repurposing content from TikTok on Instagram. And the reach for Facebook and Instagram organically is very much down from what it used to be. So if you want to leverage organic social media, now's the time to get in on TikTok. Again, thebrewserving.com/TikTok. All right, let's get into the podcast with Rich Brooks, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Rich Brooks from Flight New Media and one of my favorite podcasts, Agents of Change podcast, is joining me. And we're going to talk about marketing for local businesses. He has a new session that he's working on, and we're going to talk about that and help you kind of figure out how to market your business and how to stand out. So Rich, thank you so much for joining me.
Bruce, I appreciate it. I always like talking to you.
We met on the podcast a few years ago. We did a podcast together, but we also met in person at Social Media Marketing World, which hopefully will come back. I know that last year was a weird year for everything, but hopefully we'll be able to meet again in 2022 when it returns. So I'm excited to talk about this. So before we get into that, give a little intro to yourself, your company, and what you do.
Sure. Well, on the company side of things, I started Flight New Media more than 24 years ago, which seems like forever ago. In fact, I was commenting, I just recently hired somebody who I've yet to meet because of COVID in person, but I just hired somebody. She wasn't born when I started the company, so that kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Wait, was it an internet company when you started, like internet marketing, websites and that stuff?
Yeah, it was primarily websites when we started. And then I used to actually do a print newsletter. This is how old I how long I've been doing it. It was a print newsletter that I did 100 copies on my dad's printer, and then I would physically fold them and mail them out by hand with Amazing. Like, I'd lick my own stamps kind of a thing. Like that's how I got started. In my first issue, I talked about like search engine optimization, right? So it's like, I've been doing it since day one. So yeah, so now there's 10 of us and we do website design, we do digital marketing, SEO, local SEO, paid search, social media, paid social. Basically, our goal is to help our clients generate as many quality leads as they can online.
I love that. And you actually did a session last year. We did a pizza summit, which was like a virtual conference for the pizza community that we have. And you did a session on SEO and marketing for local businesses, which was really well received. So thank you for doing that.
Very cool.
So what do you think about the state of marketing right now for local businesses? What do they need to look out for?
Well, you know, obviously we're recording this on the end of COVID, knock on wood, the end of COVID. You know, things are, I'm up in here in Maine, and honestly, like things feel almost back to normal. It's kind of kind of crazy how quickly things seem to get back to normal up here in Maine.
Right.
So I think one of the things that the lessons that we've learned from the pandemic is everybody is comfortable going online. So the yes. customer journey is now entirely online and or almost entirely online. Even when we go travel somewhere and we're walking around for with local shops, we're probably opening up Yelp or TripAdvisor or something else along the way. So I would just, you know, if I'm a local business, I'd be doubling down on my digital marketing. I'd make sure that I have a website that's easy to use on a mobile device, that it's easy to get in touch with me, that all my information is right out there. For local businesses, I'd definitely be putting a big focus on Google My Business, which is a cornerstone of local SEO, but also good for other things as well. And I'd play around with some Google Posts. If you haven't been doing anything with Google Posts, which you do through your Google My Business Manager, I'd definitely be checking that out. It's a great place for promotions and to drive traffic to your website or to your business.
Yeah.
And, you know, then depending on, you know, there's obviously so many different types of business, but having a presence on social media, even if it's just to talk about your community involvement. Like, we don't get business usually directly through Facebook or Instagram, but we use that to kind of show off the work we do, as well as like our clients' work, put the focus on them. And then a lot of photos of the waterfront in Portland, Maine, where we are, because we want to show our roots. And I think all those things really help in terms of just starting to lay that foundation for success online for a local business.
Yeah, I find that a lot of, correct me if I'm wrong, but when I talk to, you know, business owners or restaurant owners or local business, I find like they tend to forget about Google a little bit. They tend to think that, okay, I know I need to have a website. I know what SEO is. I don't really know how to do it, but I know what it is. And I know that I should have a Google My Business page, but I feel like they think it's, you just set it up and then it's done. Not like Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. Like, I know they need to update. They know they need to update those constantly, but not Google for some reason.
I know it does feel that way sometimes. And if you're not in this world, I can understand why you think it's like Google has set it and forget it. And Facebook is, you constantly have to feed the beast.
Yeah.
And there's a certain amount of truth to that, because, you know, the half-life of a tweet or a Facebook update is shorter and shorter, you know. But the thing something that is dependent on your type of business, but certain businesses need to keep fresh content up there for Google. Google is looking for them to update, and it really depends on your industry. Is it fast moving? Then you should be continually adding blog posts and other content to your website to really feed Google. And the other thing would be is Google My Business, like making sure that you've got more reviews coming in, making sure that you're trying out those Google posts. All of those sort of things definitely make a difference in terms of your online presence. There are businesses that don't need to change it that much, but if you can be adding content to your website, which is really your home on the internet, your home for your intellectual property, I think that's absolutely key, and you should be taking care of that. Because my experience is, you know, people get excited about Facebook and Instagram because 5-10 years ago, it seemed like this was a free way to advertise online. Right. That's just not the case anymore. You have to spend money to get any sort of action there, which is fine. That's business. But I think that the idea that you're just going to update Facebook and get business from it, where Google, you just put up your website and you're done, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, even if you're not in a fast-moving industry, your competitors might be taking SEO more seriously this year, or local SEO. So it's like, are you seeing that your traffic or your rankings are starting to decline? And that could be because your competitors are taking Google more seriously, and so then you have to step up your game too.
Yeah, I know that in our community, the one that I talk to and the one that the audience is for this podcast, they're definitely taking Google more seriously this year. I mean, all the changes to Instagram and Facebook, you know, they have a hard time grasping how to just create good content anyway versus just posting something in a purpose for that posting. So they are looking to Google and Google My Business because they know, like, listen, people, yes, are perusing social media, but you got to be really good now in order to stand out on social media. If you're not really good at Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, it's going to kind of be like white noise and people are going to move on to more interesting things.
And the way that the algorithm works is, even if people like you, they might not see your post on Facebook.
Right.
And if they haven't liked your page, then there's almost zero chance they're going to see anything. So what I tell all our clients, because we work with local business as well as companies with a national reach, and we work with B2B and B2C. And what you need to do is figure out what is the customer journey to get to you. And there may be more than one, but are people going to be, are they going to have a pain point that they need to solve? So what are they going to do? They're going to either turn to Google. They might also ask their friends on Facebook.
Right.
Or is it something where it's just like they don't necessarily have a need, but you know the type of audience, the demographics, the psychographics that you're going after, and you just need to get in front of them. And that's when social is really good for that, although honestly more social ads and organic social. So understanding how your customers make their decisions, where and when they make them, and just making sure that you have a presence there, whether it's at Google or Facebook or TikTok or webinars or in person. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Are you on Clubhouse, by the way?
I have a Clubhouse account, but honestly, it's been months since I've been on Clubhouse, and I see some people are killing it. And I'm just waiting for, like, because I know Mike Stelzner, who we both know, respect to, you know, founder of Social Media Examiner. He's huge. He's super into Clubhouse, loves it. He got me on there. And I spent like a couple weeks on there. I even had him on my podcast to talk about it. And I just found that like after about like four or five times on there, for me, and I'm not judging anybody else, it wasn't compelling.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's like, I can't spend time there unless there's a strong business argument for it, which there might be.
Yep.
Or I find it compelling.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like, there's other places for me to spend my time. And I see other people and they're crushing it there. So I'm certainly not going to say it's not a good platform, but you have to make some choices.
Right.
You can't be I don't believe you can be everywhere unless you're a mega corporation, but I don't think those people are your local businesses.
No, definitely not. It was funny because I was talking to Lou Mangiello last week on the last podcast we did about Clubhouse a little bit. And I had the same feelings, but the reason I brought Clubhouse up was because of what you just said. I was in a room, and this is the thing about Clubhouse. You have to be in a room for an hour and a half to get 5 minutes of good information. There's a lot of randomness on Clubhouse and a lot of banter and a lot of people who have, I don't know, their profiles look fabulous, but then you don't know who they really are. They could just have made the best bio in the history of bios for Clubhouse. We were talking about what you just said about how to stand out and like, how do you stand out amongst the competition? You know, I think local businesses especially find it hard to like get creative, or they're so bogged down in the day to day that they don't really think about marketing or Google or what do I do to make my business different. They just kind of look around to other people and do what they're doing. So how does a local business like stand out?
I know. And that's like the worst thing you can possibly do. It's not the worst thing that you can do, but you know, if you're a Me Too business, how is anybody going to get super excited about you?
Right.
And this is a, you know, basically kind of this new presentation I'm working on where I'm, you know, 24 years of working with a wide variety of clients, and why do some of them market so effortlessly? And then why do some of them like it's just a slog? And I know I love marketing, and obviously you love marketing too. Like I get joy from being creative and you know, looking at things and figuring out KPIs. I get it. I love that. But I've worked with many industries, like the wedding industry. Wedding professionals couldn't give, well, let's just say anything. They don't care about this, right? They did not get into like becoming a wedding planner because they like marketing wedding planning business. So I understand that. What I try and do when I sit down with a new client or a prospect or any business, you know, is try and figure out what makes them stand out online. And this is this whole thing that this idea that I've been working on, which is like the art of remarkability. And that seems like such an audacious thing, right? You know, it's like, dude, I have a shoe shine shop. I got a coffee shop. I have a pizzeria. It's like, I'm not worried about being remarkable. I'm worried about paying the rent.
Right.
And I'm like, listen, being remarkable just means that there's something about your business that's worth remarking upon, that's worth identifying. And then once you've figured this out, then you market on that point and everything becomes a lot easier. So what I came up with was this idea after like sitting down and looking at all my successful clients, plus I read business books because I didn't take a business class in college. So like, I always feel like I don't know what I'm talking about. So I just read as much as I possibly can. And I'm always fascinated by psychology. So I always read those kind of books like the Malcolm Gladwell books and the Heath brothers. So I like collected all of these stories and started trying to figure out what they are. And as I looked at them and why certain businesses stand out and succeed, I kind of started to come up with these four different categories that people could look at. And these were questions that I kind of was asking my clients already. So the remarkability formula, as I call it, has four different lenses that you can use to look at your business. Okay. And those lenses are find, focus, fashion, and frame. So we can kind of talk through all of them if you like.
Yeah.
But I always like to start with find, because the nice thing about find is there's already something in your business that is remarkable. And so it's the easiest, because you don't have to change anything. You just have to identify why are people choosing you and not choosing anybody else.
Right.
And then just kind of double down on that. So I tell a story about when I bought my first house, it needed such a paint job. Like, it was just hurting. And, you know, my experience or my understanding of like what happens when you get your house painted is, you know, all of a sudden there's all these trucks parked on your front lawn, and then they're for days and days, sometimes more than a week. There's ladders everywhere, and it feels like a construction zone. I had a guy who told us he'd get the whole thing done in 2 days. So we went with him because that seemed awesome. And when he showed up, he shows up with 20 guys. I kid you not. Shows up with 20 guys. They jump out of the van. They throw up the ladders. They're going, you know, painting, hit every last board, and they're done by sunset, and they all disappear. I think they were singing sea shanties at the same time, but maybe I'm just embellishing the memory at this point. And then 2 days later, they come back. They do the same thing. And my neighbors took notice because, you know, they're working like this well-oiled NASCAR pit crew. You know, my home looks like Extreme Home Makeover. You know, it's just, it was awesome. And that was remarkable. And it was something they were already doing. So like, that's a good example of find. So find something that you're doing that maybe the competition's not, and that's not super easy to replicate. Because my whole thing is, people come to me, they're like, oh, I need Facebook ads. And I'm like, well, why? And I've been told I do. And the thing with Facebook ads or Google ads, and they're great. I mean, this is how we do our business, right? The problem is that anybody can do ads, anybody Google ads, anybody can do SEO. So that's not a differentiator, because if you go on Google right now and search for Facebook ads course, there's over 2 billion results.
Wow.
So all you need, all your competition needs to do is watch a video, and suddenly they know as much as you. So for me, I'm like, use those tools to multiply what makes your business remarkable, but don't expect that marketing alone is going to save the day.
Right. So like that painting company that you described, they could use Facebook ads, but what the ad would be about is how well and how quick they do the job.
Exactly, Bruce. Yeah. With pictures or videos of how quickly this takes place. I mean, like, that would be just be, people would stop and be like, I've got vinyl siding. I want these guys to, I'll hire these guys.
Right. I don't even own a house. I want to paint that guy's house right over there. It just got it done so fast. It reminds me of a roofing company that's similar. There's a roofing company that works in my area, and they do the same exact thing. Like, you see some roofers, they come and there's three or four guys working, and it takes them a week to do a roof. This company comes, just like you said, there's 20 guys. They literally can do a roof of a house that's average size in 3 hours. And you're like, whoa, it's like ants on the house. They're just working and it's done in 3 hours. It's crazy.
And it's hard to replicate, especially in this job market,
yeah,
where you can't find anybody at all. So the idea that you would all of a sudden have these 20 guys at your disposal, like, there's nobody who's going to be able to copy you anytime soon.
That's super hard, though. I think when you ask this, because I ask people that all the time, like, what makes you different than the people down the street doing the same thing? How do you get them to think about that? And what if they don't have something that makes them unique?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would argue there probably is, and there's a lot of ways we can look at it, but let's say that, you know, you go through it and you're like, I cannot identify anything. So one other thing, or the next thing that I usually talk about is focus, or the idea of niching down. And John Lee Dumas, in his new book, The Common Path to Uncommon Success, tells a story about how he niched down in his business. But what was awesome is I was there for part of it. So I actually had my own take on it. I remember meeting John Lee Dumas on a rooftop bar in New York City. I was
just explain who John Lee Dumas is in case people don't know who that is.
All right. So, well, not to give it away, I'll just say that, like, I meet him, this kid, young kid, and he's kind of like, I'm like, hey, John, we live in the same town. What do you do? He goes, well, I just quit my job as a commercial real estate agent to become a professional podcaster. And I'm like, that's great. It was 2012. I didn't even know there was a professional league in podcasting at that point. I'm like, there's no way this kid's not going to be living in his parents' garage within a year. Now, of course, he turned out to be John Lee Dumas, the entrepreneur on fire. He's got that podcast.
Right.
He's living in a million-dollar mansion, Oceanside in Puerto Rico. So there's a lot of reasons John succeeded. The guy is fantastic.
Right.
He's super smart. but he's also very focused. And what I talk about and what he talks about in the book is everybody was doing a weekly business podcast back when he started. And, you know, they all had good audio. They all had good guests. They all asked good questions. And he could have tried to have better audio or better guests or ask better questions, but those would have been incremental changes and pretty impossible for somebody to do right out of the gate. So he decided that he was going to differentiate himself by being the only daily business podcaster. And people then told him it was ridiculous. Nobody wanted a daily podcast. People would feel overwhelmed and abandon him. But he was like, I've always wanted more audio. I'm sure there's an audience out there for this. He does it. He crushes it, obviously. And because he focused on it and did it every day, he becomes the go-to voice for business podcasting.
Right.
And all these reporters who want to talk about this new form of social media start calling him up. That led to more listeners, led to more guest requests, led to bigger sponsorship dollars, led to every other business opportunity he had. And I know that's an odd example because he actually did more. Some people were like, but that's not niching down. He did more, but he went after a smaller audience, an audience that wanted a daily podcast. And by narrowing his focus, he became really good at this. And we reward specialists over generalists.
Yeah.
So if you're in a local business, you know, think about different ways that you could niche down. Like maybe you start selling less products, or you make your delivery area smaller, or you have less hours, or you really start to target a very specific audience. No longer do you sell all instruments, you only sell the French horn. Now, any of these decisions could have terrible business ramifications. My point is that you just keep on niching down, as John says, niche down until it hurts, because at some point you'll be the only company offering that to a specific audience. And then you really are remarkable. As long as this audience is big enough to support you, they're going to choose the company that is focused entirely on their problem set.
Yeah. And I don't know John personally, but I've heard that story before from John from John. And he's, you look at him now and he has a ton of products. He does a lot of things, but he initially started with just that one thing, the podcast that he did for 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week or 7 days a week. And that's all he did. And then it grew from there. And I often talk about that with local businesses. If you look at, take restaurants, for example, even real estate agents, right? Like the real estate agents that are really successful focus on one niche. Like they either have a town that they focus on, a business style that they focus on, whether that be multifamilies or commercial or single families in a certain zip code. And those are the ones that get the most business and it grows over time. And then you can expand outward from there. So especially with restaurants, you know, you've never seen a really, really great restaurant that has a bazillion things on their menu other than the Cheesecake Factory. But no one ever said that was great.
Right. And then, but you're right. Once you become a master of a niche, then you can start to go in other places. And, you know, I met Lewis Howes at a Blog World also years ago, and he was the LinkedIn guy.
Right.
And he had a singular story about how LinkedIn basically saved his life. But then he starts growing and he starts getting into YouTube, and then he starts getting, and all of a sudden he's got these podcasts where he's interviewing some of the biggest names, not just in marketing or business, but just the biggest names around. And he's getting these. So, but he started by becoming the best in that vertical and then expanded from there.
Do they need a new LinkedIn guy? Cause I may need a new niche.
There you go.
I might have to write that down, but yeah, I agree with you. So I know, kind of know what frame is. What's fashion in the remarkability formula?
Yeah, so fashion is more about creating something that is extrinsic to your offering. So it's not about like David Bowie fashion or like catwalk fashion. It's about making something that your business would survive, your offering would survive without it. And so some examples that I talk about, one is a little bit political, but Ben & Jerry's comes out with a new flavor and they call it Pecan Resist. And all the proceeds from this go to these four progressive organizations. Now, obviously, this is a little controversial.
Right.
But they could have called that ice cream anything. It probably would have sold, you know, pretty well. But the bottom line is that's something that they did that's in alignment with their value statement. So that's one example. The Agents of Change is another example for Flight New Media. So Flight New Media is a digital agency. Agents of Change is basically about inspiring or empowering people to do your own marketing, or at least to get started in digital marketing, succeed there. But there's obviously a lot of overlap because we're still talking about digital marketing. Agents of Change put me on stage in front of a bunch of other main businesses, brought people in from all over. And because I'm associated with Flight and I'm associated with Agents of Change, we fashioned this, we created this. And now a lot of our prospects when they show up, or clients, I say, so how did you hear about us? And they'll be like, I've been going to the Agents of Change conference for years, and I finally need a website, or I finally realize I need SEO, but it's because I saw you speak or whatever it may be. And that's giving us an opportunity to attract people. So it's about creating something that is in alignment with what you're offering, but it isn't necessarily required for your success. And that's just, again, another thing that you can market, another message that you can put out there, and either because it's in alignment with your mission or your values as well. So those are important things to keep in mind.
I love it. How long have you been doing the Agents of Change podcast? I know you have the conference as well, but how long have you been doing the podcast?
About 8 years, because we're coming up on our 400th episode. It's going to be in the next couple of weeks based on today's recording. So, yeah, I've been doing it for quite some time.
I know last week I talked to Lou Mongeau, and he said he started podcasting in 2005. And I said that was like 100 years ago in podcasting. So yours is like 50 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I actually did have a previous podcast called Flightcast, and I hated it. Like, I did it for like 4 or 6 episodes. It would take me, it wasn't an interview show. It was like 6 hours, 8 hours of work for like a 10-minute podcast. And after like 4 or 6 episodes, I just gave up. But it was funny because I did have people reach out to me afterwards and be like, when's the next episode coming out? I'm like, never again.
Well, that goes to another good point. Like, you should enjoy what you're doing too, right? Because no matter how good your business is, if you don't actually like doing it, then it's not going to work out well for you.
No, because it's going to come through. And, you know, this is something that, this is kind of off this topic, but something that I've noticed for years is, like, a lot of times your best results don't, they never come at the beginning. They come after you've invested some time. So I always talk about, like, although I don't use Twitter the same way I used to use Twitter for business.
Yeah.
And what would happen is, you know, at first I'm just playing around on this new platform. It was probably about 800 tweets in when I started kind of a little bit talking about what I was doing for business. And then somebody reached out to me and we ended up getting a job out of it. You know, it was like, but I was 100 episodes or 800 tweets in, maybe more at this point. And I didn't really have an expectation. Right. The podcast was, I just wanted to be able to talk to other digital marketers, share ideas, all this sort of stuff. But at one point, and it wasn't episode one, it was probably close to episode 100, I see somebody shares my episode on Twitter, and they say, oh, I need help with this. It was an episode about conversion rates. And I reached out to the guy and we started a conversation. And that was like 5, 6 years ago, maybe longer. And we were just trading emails a few minutes ago. His business has been giving us Flight $3,000 to $4,000 worth of business every single month since we started. Wow. And that's well over $100,000 now. And so that's how it works. But I didn't start by saying, how quickly can I monetize this?
Right.
It was like, I'm going to create something I enjoy doing that's about my work.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it became something that started creating new business opportunities for us.
Yeah, but that's the only way you can consistently do it enough for long enough where you get the results that you want, or you see results. Because in the beginning, like you said, doing it in the beginning, you're not going to really see any results. You have to actually enjoy the process, because there are going to be no results until you get to that 50th or 60th episode or that first year in business. Once you get past that hump, then you can be like, all right, now I can start seeing some results.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, if you absolutely hate all this marketing stuff, you're probably not listening to this podcast anyways, but if you absolutely hate this marketing stuff, then that's why you hire an outside person, a contractor, an agency, what have you, because, you know, you can just run ads, let them run it for you, and you just sit back and deal with the customers and the clients who come in.
Right.
And that's a totally viable option. I could probably save money if I knew how to run my own books, but I don't. So I hire an outside agency to help me with that, so I can focus on the areas that I'm best at.
Yes. Because you can only be good at a couple things. Like, you can be average at a lot of things, but really good at a few.
And the older I get and the more experienced I get, I realize how true that is. And that if you really want to move forward in your business or career, you just keep on, like, getting things off your plate and focusing where your joy, your passion, and your skill set lie. From a business standpoint, as long as there's an audience willing to pay for that.
Right.
But if you don't have to worry about business and you don't even care about it, you just create. And maybe something works out, maybe it doesn't. But absolutely, yeah. Find, if you're going to do your own marketing, find a channel that's effective, but also that you like being on.
Yes. And I always tell people, don't look at what you like as a reference to what your audience likes. Because a lot of people who are in the restaurant business or local business would be like, I hate Facebook. But that doesn't mean your audience isn't on Facebook. So just because you don't like it doesn't mean they're not there.
And I would guess most restaurateurs hate Yelp, but yet you still have to have a presence there.
Hate too, and some are so hard-headed they still don't use it, even though it can benefit their business, even just by responding to reviews, not paying Yelp.
Exactly, exactly.
So let's move on to the frame. How does the frame work?
So the frame is more or less, it's not completely different than Fine, but it's about taking what's already there and reframing it or repositioning it in a way that's going to, you know, really engage some member of your audience. I tell a story that actually came from Matthew Pollard, who wrote The Introvert's Edge, and he's really good at helping people kind of create a frame for their business. And he was talking to this woman who was taught Chinese. And she taught Chinese in San Francisco, and she had this booming business. But over the years, all of a sudden, there's this surge of low-cost competition, either local people looking to build up their business, so they're willing to take, you know, $10 an hour to teach somebody how to speak Mandarin, or because the world is flat now, the people from China jumping online and through Fiverr teaching this. So all of a sudden, she's like, I can't take the money at that low a level. I can't make a profit there. So what am I going to do? And working through this, they found that some of her clients were actually business people looking to move there. She wasn't just teaching them Mandarin. She was actually teaching them business etiquette for China. Yeah. And she was also teaching their families how to prepare to live in China because it's such a different experience. And these people, she suddenly had this audience that it's a business expense, willing to pay so much more for a more complete success experience. And she rebranded as the China Success Coach. And all of a sudden, she has no competition. She can charge whatever she wants. And all of these people are coming to her saying, I want to bring some employees over to China. I want to hire you. And suddenly she can't keep up with the business, right? And she's charging way more than she ever did. So that's a good example of like just reframing what you're doing. And it's also a little bit of niching down too. So it's a combination, but it's about finding that way of showing your value in a new light or through a new lens.
I love that. That's a great example because any business can take what she did, not necessarily like exactly what she did, but like how she did it and use it in your business. Like what in your business makes you unique? How can you be the one who people go to for that unique thing that you do? And then you use digital marketing to talk about that unique thing that you do.
And some of the things is like going back to Fine. One of the things that I like talking about is because I know a lot of people who are like, oh, there's nothing special about my business. But then I watch them interact with clients and they're amazing. And like I have a copywriter that I work with and we now have copywriters in-house. But whenever I can, I work with this copywriter and she writes excellent copy and she charges me a fair price. But the reason I keep going back to her is because everybody she talks to feels better about themselves and their business within moments of talking to her. There's just this thing about her that you cannot teach. It's just her and she makes you feel so good. And I'm like, I'll always bring her into a meeting because my clients love her. They love working with her. It reflects well on me. So sometimes what makes your business remarkable could be you or could be other employees. Maybe like her, they're just so likable. Like you can't teach this in a customer service class. Or you or somebody on your team is a thought leader. You know, it's just like you stand up and talk, you know, Bruce, you're a charismatic guy. You stand up and talk. People want to hear what you have to say. And if you've got somebody like that on your team or you're that person, well, that's something remarkable. You just have to figure out how to market that piece of it. But, you know, that's something that a lot of businesses don't think about when they're thinking about what makes me remarkable. It's actually you.
Yeah, I agree with that a lot. And I think that, you know, especially after 2020 and everybody moving to digital, right? Like even the businesses who were kind of holding off going digital realize that, you know what, dang, I got to do digital. Even if I don't want to, that's where people are. It's not going backwards. We're only going to be moving forward when it comes to digital. But look at your business, like what makes you special and what makes you unique? Because even if you think you're not, there's something about your business that those customers who have been coming to you for a long time, there's a reason they come to you for a long time. Like, what is that?
Right. And it's not just because you're a little bit cheaper or you're incrementally better in something. There's a reason why they choose you. And if there's not, if you literally can't do it, then that's where you start to either narrow your focus so you can be the only person doing this, or that you create something in addition to your main business that people can rally behind and you can talk about. Or you think about how can I position this in a new light? So once you've done these things, my experience is marketing becomes easier because, you know, the human brain is wired for things that are remarkable or things that are novel. Like that's literally just how our caveman brain works. But the algorithms that power search, social, and digital ads, they also reward this remarkability. Yeah. So once you know who your ideal customer is and what your right message is and everything else, all those algorithms that maybe didn't know what to do with you before suddenly fall into alignment. So like social media, people sharing your content once you've got something remarkable to talk about, that powers the algorithm. Search engine optimization, it's a couple different things. Google rewards focus on the page, and they reward inbound links. It's just two of many things. Inbound links come from you doing something that other people want to link to show off. And then digital ads, people think it's like, oh no, it's a bidding process. It's how much you pay. No. See, here's the thing, because it doesn't make a difference how much you're willing to pay. It makes a difference on how much money Google or Facebook makes off you. Because Google and Facebook doesn't want to lose traffic unless they're being paid to lose that traffic.
Right.
So they would rather take, you know, a lesser costly ad that will actually convert than they would get somebody who's promising to pay them a lot of money, but their ads never work.
Right.
So all of these algorithms will start to reward you once you figure out this piece. And it's really about going through this process and figuring out what it is and layering multiple things on. So you have this unassailable position in the marketplace. And I've noticed that, like, you know, because I tried to do the same thing to ourselves, and it was hard doing that work. I'm like, I don't know, we're like every other agency out there. But we went through the work and we said, okay, well, the other company we really like in town is all e-commerce, and we're almost all lead gen. So we lean into the lead gen stuff. And then they don't do this, but we do this. And then the other thing is, like, you know, we create custom solutions and they do cookie cutter stuff, and not in a bad way. Like they do great cookie cutter stuff, but right. It's like, you know, choose one from column A, one for, that's not how we work. And so, and then the other thing is I get up on stage, I've got the podcast, we bring in people that way. So let's not demote Rich Brooks. Let's actually get his name out there, because all of these things working together makes Flight New Media a unique company to work
with. I love it. Speaking of Flight New Media, where can they go find you, Rich?
If they want to check out that website, they can go to Take Flight. That's takeflyte.com, and just check out all the work that we do there. And if we're a good fit, I'd love to chat with you.
Where are you on social media? What's your preferred social media platform if you have one?
These days, oh, it sounds so lame, but LinkedIn is probably the place I go to most, if not most often. It's where I spend most of my business time, because people aren't bragging about their kids and they're not talking about politics. Yeah. So I just kind of enjoy my presence there. And I still do a lot on Twitter. I still go there, if not, you know, quite using it quite the same way, but I am the Rich Brooks on every single platform. So I'm pretty easy to find.
I love that. And one takeaway from what you just said was, the social media platforms have two customers. They have you as the paying customer who's running ads, but they also have the customer whose eyeballs that paying ad gets in front of, and they have to please you both, right? They got to make sure Absolutely. That your content is good enough to show it to the eyeballs of the people who watch, because if they don't have those people to watch, you have no platform to put your ad on.
Absolutely.
I love it. Great conversation, Rich. Thank you so much for hanging out with me here on the podcast. I'll be sure to link up all your socials, your website, and if you need to reach out to Rich. And I highly suggest you go subscribe to Rich's podcast, the Agents of Change podcast, too, if you like similar conversations to this, because Rich does a great job of finding guests. And I like the fact that on your podcast, you don't have the guests that are on 100 other podcasts. You do have some guests, cool. But it's like other people who have other information.
Yeah, because, well, half of the people, I'm sure you're a big enough deal now that you have people coming to you, just like I do. But then there are the people, like for me, I'm like, I'll read a blog post and be like, oh, I got a bunch of questions to ask that person. So then I'm like, how'd you like to come on my podcast? And then that's how I find a lot of the people that maybe other people aren't interviewing.
Yes. So if you're into marketing, go subscribe to his podcast. Highly recommend it. Rich, thanks, thank you Bruce. So much. Don't hang up yet, but it my was amazing pleasure. Talking to you. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate you. If you could leave me a review on iTunes, very much appreciated. Hit that subscribe button and let me know. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can hit me up on Instagram. I am at the Bruce Irving over on Instagram. TheBruceIrving.com is where we keep all the show notes. And if you need some help, you can reach out to me, Bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com. That's my email. We do have another podcast. If you're listening to this, you can go check that one out as well. And don't forget about our TikTok challenge, TheBruceIrving.com/TikTok. If you want to start leveraging TikTok for your local business, which I think you should. All right, thank you so much. We'll see you next time.